Today on Real Radio.
They're called wise men in the scripture. And we know from Babylonian history that they were men who were devoted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the land of Iraq. We have no evidence whatsoever that they were kings. We have no evidence whatsoever that they were three of them. But we know this, that magi, wise men, came from the east, came from the area of Babylon, searching for a sign that had appeared in the heavens, announcing that if they followed that sign, they would there find the Savior of the world. That's why these wise men came to worship him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher steps away from his chronological study and delivers a most impassioned presentation that we've been promising to you. It's called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Now, if you're not a believer, you may or may not be offended. After all, our society still tends to teeter between Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. But if you are a true born-from-above believer, our teacher just might be your mouthpiece today. But more than that, you just might hear some fascinating facts about Christmas that you never knew before. Well, here to dispel myths, proclaim the truth, and to get us to imagine a Christmas without Jesus, here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" I'm going to ask you to underline that portion. We have come to worship him. There is much in the way of tradition and lore about these wise men. There's much about the tradition that tells about the fact that they came from Iraq, modern-day Iraq today, the ancient area of Babylon. They had been schooled, we know, from tradition and from lore, from history, in the teachings of the prophet Daniel, who had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and was there taken into Babylon. And then we understand that Daniel instructed many of those in that area of the Word of God, and that Daniel himself is the founder of what is known as the Magi. The Magi traditionally is known by these kings who came, or these wise men, I should say, who came to worship Jesus. How would they have known? What were they looking for? What does history talk about regarding these men? And they're looking for a sign. What is it all about? They're called wise men in the scripture. And we know from Babylonian history that they were men who were devoted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Very interesting. In the land of Iraq today. But they came, and we know also from tradition and from history that they would have studied the teachings of the prophet of Daniel, and that they were not, listen, contrary to our little statues that we have on our table or whatever, announcing this time of the year, we have no evidence whatsoever that they were kings. We have no evidence whatsoever that they were three of them. This came from songs. This came from music. But we know this, that magi, wise men, came from the east, came from the area of Babylon, searching for a sign that had appeared in the heavens, announcing that if they followed that sign, they would there find the Savior of the world. That's why these wise men came to worship him. Now you got to understand, imagine it happening today. You've got the land of Israel that is occupied by the Roman Empire, and you've got the land of what is ancient Babylon, Iraq today. You've got these wise men coming from Iraq into Israel announcing, we've seen the star that we've been looking for and been taught about for so long. We've seen that star, and we have come to worship the king who has come into the world. That's exactly what's going on here. It's a very wonderful and documented event. So the fact remains regarding this, and I want you to really be thinking about it as we go through our word this morning, that for nearly 2,000 years, the celebration and the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ at Christmas has been part of Christmas and Christian culture. We don't find the early church celebrating the birth of Jesus. That doesn't make it good, bad, or ugly. It's not recorded. But for nearly 2,000 years, the celebration or the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ coming into the world has been celebrated in Christian culture around the world. And here we are today celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and you might say, well, it's not in the Bible that we should celebrate it. That is exactly correct. That is true. But it does say that we are to be thankful to God. And what we do is we commemorate at this particular time of the year that has been set aside or adopted, that we will acknowledge Jesus Christ. And Christian church, listen to me carefully. I admonish you this morning. I exhort you this morning. Stand loud, stand bold, stand strong for at least one more opportunity to worship publicly and give acknowledgement publicly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because time will come, mark my words, time will come in your life. You will see an attack to try to take away that freedom of ours to stand publicly. And in fact, as we've been rejected in doing the concert in the community, that it was too much of Jesus at Christmas, we were refused. We weren't going to proselytize. We weren't going to have people, come forward to accept the Lord. It was simply the concert by the three wise men, our wise men, not the ones of the Bible, to do the music. Those days will increase. It will become more difficult and more strenuous to be a Christian as the days march on. So before we get into our study, mark this down by way of introduction this morning. When you consider the promise of the birth of Jesus Christ revealed in Scripture, can't get away from it, his actual birth itself and the effects of his birth upon the world, it is an undeniable fact that Christ has come and that he was none other than the Bible said he was, that he was God revealed in human flesh. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." As Christians this morning, we want to announce to you and announce to the world that we are not following a story. We are not following Saint Nick or Santa Claus or anything else. We are following at Christmas the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer that we follow him every day. Point number one in our study today, if you jot this down, if you would, imagine a Christmas without Jesus in our lives. Number one is this: we'd have to neglect the biblical accounts that are available to us. We would have to neglect the biblical accounts regarding Jesus Christ. The wise men of old, as I said, drew near to where Jesus was to be. And they understood why they were coming. In Matthew 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is the king who is born of the Jews?" Where is he? So these Babylonians knew one thing. Number one, Jesus was coming to be born of the king of the Jews. Number two, "We have seen his star in the east." And they followed that star, by the way. The star appeared to them in the east, and the star moved over to where the child was. So that means some 600 miles during on that journey, those wise men followed that angelic star that led them to the birthplace and the nativity of Christ. And then also we know this, number three, that we have come to worship him. They came to worship. And this morning you might have an opinion. Maybe you've been brought here by a friend and you don't even want to be here. But I'm going to ask you to think for a moment. Imagine for a moment you being in classroom for 1 hour. Please, 1 hour. Just 1 hour is all I ask. You need to understand history, that it is well recorded that wise men came from Babylon, that they were coming to understand and to see the fact that Israel had received its king. That king didn't come in the pomp and the glory of a motorcade or of a chariot order. He came by way of being born of a virgin in the little town of Bethlehem, exactly as the ancient scriptures announced. Jesus came. Number one is this: we'd have to neglect the biblical accounts and that it said that Jesus would come. That's your first argument. How do we know that there's really a Christmas? Well, number one, church, and I want you to play with me here. Did Jesus come? Answer that. Yes. You cannot deny it. Rome knew it. The world has known it. The emperors knew it of Rome. The Caesars knew it. Christ came. The religious leaders knew that Jesus Christ had come. He factually came. The Christmas story, frankly, is as old as time itself, because we get our first glimpse about the Christmas story that Jesus Christ would come, the Messiah. Jesus is his name. Christ is his mission. Christ is Greek. We would say Messiah in Hebrew. Jesus is the Messiah of the world. That means that he would deliver the world from a problem that the world has. You guys, you want to know why people freak out about Jesus? They don't want to acknowledge Jesus. Jesus is a problem. Him coming as a baby born in Bethlehem, he's a problem child to every one of us. If we are not open to the fact that his very mission is Jesus came, ordained of God the Father, to come into the world for a purpose. And that purpose was to rescue man from our sin. Just like the great Christmas hymns teach. He came to set us free from what? Satan's power. Jesus came. And so Christ came according to the scriptures, and we know that back in Genesis 3:15 was the first announcement that the Messiah would come. That's where the Christmas story begins, back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell. And it is stressed in over hundreds of scriptures throughout the Bible that Christ would come. And the advent of Jesus Christ to the world is God's gift to mankind, as we shall see. Confirmed by the wise men to have lived, they came. King Solomon announced it this way. You might say, well, where's the Old Testament announcements before Jesus came? Are you Christians making it up? Well, nearly 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, in Proverbs 30, verse 4, Solomon said, who has ascended into heaven or descended? The answer is God, by the way. Who has gathered the wind in his fist? I'd like him to do that right about now outside to just calm it down. Who has bound the waters in his garment, and who has established all the ends of the earth? I love that. The word means he has set their boundaries of all the physical universe. He has drawn the line, and that's what they obey. What is his name? The Bible says his name is Yah. That's where we get Yahweh or Yehovah, Yah. And what is his son's name, if you know? Isn't that interesting? Yahweh has a son. Judaism says, no, he doesn't. They will find out that he does. Islam says, no, he doesn't. Islam will find out that God has a son. There are many people who deny the personage of Jesus Christ, yet the Bible says from cover to cover that God has a son and he would send him to earth for us. It's called Christmas. It's the great Christmas story. Very importantly, I'm going to give you some verses, jot them down. This is all for your arguing for Jesus at Christmas repertoire. So write them down. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, written 543 years before Jesus was born. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. God is announcing to the prophet Micah that out of Bethlehem, so this is a test. You put it in the library. You pull it out of the library, and you put it in the laboratory, this verse. Into the laboratory. We put it there, and we are going to study it and see what happens. Just like if you were to put this verse in a petri dish and put it there, and you're going to watch it. Micah 5, verse 2, what's going to happen? And so you watch it for 543 years. And what happens? If you believe the word of God, you begin to focus on the little town of Bethlehem. And as you focus on that town, you see some very interesting events, because as the Bible is overlaid on top of Bible, you see a young man with a young woman coming into the town of Bethlehem based upon a decree given by the Roman Empire that there'll be a census. And so they leave their region of life and have to go back down to Bethlehem, the places of origin for them as children themselves. And she there is giving birth. And the Bible said you would recognize the Messiah of the world 543 years before he was born in the town of Bethlehem. But not only that, there would be an announcement made regarding his deity and his characteristics, that he is none other than he who is eternal. Micah 5:2 tells us that his goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. So when you see little baby Jesus in the nativity over at Walmart, and he's plastic and about 22 inches long, understand this. That's a cute little storyteller. That's a cute little representation. That's wonderful. But understand this. He's eternal God. Jesus has always been. He was never born. He's eternal. The great miracle is that Christ would come from eternity and be veiled in human flesh, in human skin, captivated as it were. Imagine God restricted to human skin. You say, why would he do that for you? Why would he go through that for you? What's the meaning of all this for? For you. Christmas is about you and God. It's an announcement that everyone in the world with half a brain, a quarter of a brain, yay, an eighth of a brain, would say, what a great story. Somebody might say, I don't believe it, but it's a great story. It's like this guy who produced this movie that's out right now, The Nativity, or it's coming out. Did you know some states are banning the movie because it's got too much Jesus in it? The guy, he was on Fox News and he said, I'm not even a Christian. I just realized after Mel Gibson's Passion, I can make hundreds of millions of bucks with this theme. I made the movie and I stick true to the Bible story. I made the movie and people are all upset because they think I'm pushing Christianity. He said, I want the money of those who are going to go to the movie. Isn't that something? Man, you associate yourself with Jesus, you're going to get in trouble. You see, how do you have a Christmas without Jesus Christ? And yet that's exactly what the world wants. They want the money, they want the trees, they want the nativity, they want all this stuff, as long as we keep them plastic in that little manger. Don't let them get up. Don't let them start saying stuff. Don't let anybody think it's real. Yeah, what's the alternative? A big fat guy in a red suit with reindeer that fly. That's what we're going to believe in. Only if Jesus doesn't exist in your life. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You will get Christmas cards with Isaiah 9, 6. It's Hallmark's favorite. For unto us a child is born. Oh, did I mention that this was written 740 years before Jesus was born? Isaiah's prophecy? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's enough to cause someone who wants to study to go nuts right there. A child is born, that happens every day. But a son is given, he came from somewhere else and came born as a baby. That's weird. You need to deal with that one. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father in the English. That's unfortunate. The word in the actual Hebrew is this, governor over time and eternity. Jesus is the governor of time and eternity, and it says Prince of Peace. Everybody, just by tradition alone, even if they've never even owned a Bible, would know who's the Prince of Peace. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I heard that somewhere. And yet that scripture is given 740 years before Jesus was ever born. Now here's something more recent. This is only 2,000 years old. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 2, that God had promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, that's the Old Testament, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written beforehand, that's a reference to the Old Testament by the Apostle Paul, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's all about Jesus. Point number one, second consideration under this, we would have to neglect the biblical accounts in that mankind would be in great need. The Bible announces that the reason for Christ coming at Christmas is that man would be in great need. And I love the fact that the Bible makes no apologies about what it says to us about us. In Romans 3:23, the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there's a Christmas. We need him. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all unclean things, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, they have taken us away. Jesus Christ came because God didn't want that to happen. You guys think, those of you who are struggling with the mean God idea, God's mean, you need to understand something. God says right here, whatever you do for me or whatever you do good, it's tainted. It's polluted before it even starts. I can't accept it. I'd love to, but I can't. Your offering that you bring to me, it's all dirty to begin with. And instead of him saying, you know what? Away with you. You're gone. I'm going to just make some new people. He said, you know, I got a plan. Because I love you so much. Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, I knew that this would happen. Though I didn't violate your choice, I didn't pressure you into anything, man sinned and fell away from me. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to come down and I'm going to reach out to you. And it's called Christmas. When we honestly look into that little manger as a representation of what it all means, we should weep with joy. And we ought to grow up and handle the fact that though the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we ought to finish the hope. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus has come. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God because he alone is perfect. But Jesus has come. We should be encouraged. We look at the one side of a story and we get all depressed before we get to the end. I hope you don't read a book by starting the book and not never finishing the book. I'm weird about that. When I got saved that week, I read the book of Revelation before I read Genesis. I read the end of the book first to see what happens at the end. Aren't you like that? Read the end of the book. See how it finishes. I encourage every Christian or non-Christian, read the Bible, read the book of Revelation and see how it finishes. And then I want to ask you this question. On which side do you want to be on? You want to be on God's side? You want to be on Satan's side? Pick. Choose. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength, that is, oh, this is good. While we were still without strength, the word means while we were unable to save ourselves. In due time, that is at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see that? Now, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ, baby Jesus, came, born in Bethlehem to die for the ungodly, then you understand? Are you with me? Then I want to be in that rank and file of the ungodly. You say, are you crazy? Look, he died for sinners. So that sinners can go to heaven. Baby Jesus came. Well, then where do I sign up? But see, if you walk around saying, well, I'm not that bad, and I've never told a lie, and I've never had an angry thought, and I've never did this, and I never did that, then I guess, you know what? Maybe it's not Christmas for you. But he loves us. The Bible goes on and on in various parts, Old and New Testament, regarding those who've sat in darkness. And he brings the light. Christmas is an offense to those who refuse Jesus Christ. Christmas is an irritant to those that are intolerant. People have gotten so upset because Jesus is prominent at Christmas and they want him removed. He's an irritant because his very presence, my friends, suggests that we need him.
In Romans chapter 3, Paul reminds us that we are all in constant rebellion against our Maker until the Holy Spirit comes and changes us, of course. That's why most people would much rather have happy holidays than a Merry Christmas. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Of course, Christmas is just days away, and that is precisely why we bring this to you today on Real Radio. We'll continue tomorrow here on Real Radio with more on this topic. Meanwhile, be sure and wish someone a Merry Christmas and remind them whose birthday it is. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. That's the title of this presentation delivered by Pastor Jack from the pulpit earlier this month. Now, of course, broadcasting this on the radio means that we're bound by time restrictions, and so we've made Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus available online at no charge. As you can probably tell by Jack's passionate tone, we just want to shout this from the rooftops. Also, what you'll hear online is the entire uncut version of the entire series. You can even watch it online if you'd like. Remember our website, www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. To find out more, give us a call, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial and prayerful support. Until tomorrow, Merry Christmas from all of us at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. And as always, our wish for you is solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.